There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. Next couple hours of live local talk, and you know how to get in touch with us, right? The text line at 343-0106. Same for a phone call, 343-0106. And if you have that FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use it to send us one of those talk back messages. And so we'll try to get to your text messages throughout the day, and you can email me as well. All right, coming up on the show today, we'll do it in reverse order later on in the 1 o'clock hour. After 1:30, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com joins me. Also at a little after 1 o'clock, Erica Thomas from 1819 News on with us as well. And then around 12:35, as we march into backwards, Senator Katie Britt is going to join us to, number one, react to the Trump verdicts from yesterday. In addition, she was down with Senator, or penned a letter with Senator Tuberville on behalf of Vulcan. And, you know, y'all, we were talking about it the other day. Vulcan, even though Birmingham-based, has a lot of people here that deal with Vulcan as well. Well, they're in a real quandary down in Mexico with a piece of their private land that Mexico says, well, not, you're going to sell it to us. So we're going to talk about that with Senator Britt as well, coming up at around 12:35. All right. In addition to, of course, today, this morning, Dan and I talked with y'all a lot about reaction to what happened yesterday. Donald Trump guilty on all charges of falsifying business records. Sentencing now set for July 11th. Yeah, the question is, how are you feeling on this? Do you think this is the end of the Trump campaign? Do you think it is the and I'm going to tell you it's not, because I'm looking at some of the polling data we'll get to in a little bit. The fundraising and polling data out there, I think this was a good thing for his campaign. Is it a good thing for him personally? I don't know, but a good thing for his campaign. And what about voter turnout? I know a lot of y'all had said, of course you're going to turn out. I did get a text today from people that said before they wouldn't have turned out, or they were not going to vote for Trump, who now say they are going to vote for Trump. So we'll keep reading those texts at 343-0106 throughout the show. All right. Speaking of Donald J. Trump, so he today, just about an hour and a half ago or so, there at Trump Tower, gave a speech. We're going to get a little bit of the speech that he gave earlier, talking about, 6 weeks in a courtroom and the verdicts that were read yesterday. From just about an hour and a half ago, a little more, here's Donald Trump from earlier today.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is a case where if they can do this to me, they can do this to anyone. And these are bad people. These are, in many cases, I believe, sick people. When you look at our country, what's happening, where millions and millions of people are flowing in from all parts of the world, not just South America, from Africa, from Asia, from the Middle East. And they're coming in from jails and prisons, and they're coming in from mental institutions and insane asylums. They're coming in from all over the world into our country. And we have a president and a group of fascists that don't want to do anything about it, because they could right now, today, he could stop it. But he's not. They're destroying our country. Our country is in very bad shape. And they're very much against me saying these things. They want to raise your taxes by 4 times. They want to stop you from having cars with their ridiculous mandates that make it impossible for you to get a car or afford a car, but make it very possible for China to build all of our cars. It's a very serious problem that we have. We just went through one of many experiences where we had a conflicted judge, highly conflicted. There's never been a more conflicted judge. Now, I'm under a gag order, which nobody's ever been under. No presidential candidate's ever been under a gag order before. I'm under a gag order, nasty gag order, where I've had to pay thousands of dollars in penalties and fines and was threatened with jail. Think of it. I'm the leading candidate. I'm leading Biden by a lot, and I'm leading the Republicans to the point where that's over. So I'm the leading person for president, and I'm under a gag order by a man that can't put two sentences together, given by a court. And they are in total conjunction with the White House and the DOJ, just so you understand. This is all done by Biden and his people. Maybe his people more importantly. I don't know if Biden knows too much about it, because I don't know if he knows about anything. But he's nevertheless the president, so we have to use his name. And this is done by Washington, and nobody's ever seen anything like it. So we have a judge who's highly conflicted. You know what the confliction is. Nobody wants to write about it, and I'm not allowed to talk about it. If I do, he said, I get put in jail. So we'll play that game a little bit longer. We won't talk about it, but you're allowed to talk about it. I hope you do, because there's never been anybody so conflicted as this. As far as the trial itself, it was very unfair. We weren't allowed to use our election expert under any circumstances. You saw what happened to some of the witnesses that were on our side. They were literally crucified by this man who looks like an angel, but he's really a devil. He looks so nice and soft. People say, oh, he seems like such a nice man. No, unless you saw him in action. And you saw that with a certain witness that went through hell. And when we wanted to do things, he wouldn't let us do those things. But when the government wanted something, they got everything. They got everything they wanted. It was a rigged trial. We wanted a venue change where we could have a fair trial. We didn't get it. We wanted a judge change. We wanted a judge that wasn't conflicted. And obviously he didn't do that. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. We had a DA who was a failed DA. Crime is rampant in New York, violent crime. That's what he's really supposed to be looking at. Crime is rampant in New York. Yesterday in McDonald's, you had a man hitting him up with machetes, a machete. Whoever can imagine even a machete being wielded in a store, in a place where they're eating, and he's going rampant, and Bragg is down watching a trial on what they call crimes. They're falsifying business records. That sounds so bad. To me, it sounds very bad. You know, it's only a misdemeanor, but to me, it sounds so bad. When they say falsifying business, that's a bad thing for me. I've never had that before. I'm falsifying. You know what falsifying business records is? In the first degree, they say falsifying business records sounds so good, right? It means that legal expense, I paid a lawyer, totally legal. I paid a lawyer a legal expense. And a bookkeeper, without any knowledge from me, correctly marked it down in the books. A very professional woman, highly respected, she testified. Marked it down in the books as a legal expense. So a legal expense, paid a lawyer, is a legal expense in the books. It's not sheetrock construction or any other thing. It's a legal expense. Think of that. This is what the falsification of business records were. And I said, what else are you going to call it? What else are you going to call it? Now, I would have testified. I wanted to testify. The theory is you never testify, because as soon as you testify, anybody, if it were George Washington, don't testify, because they'll get you on something that you said slightly wrong, and then they sue you for perjury. But I didn't care about that. I wanted to. But the judge allowed them to go into everything that I was ever involved in, not this case, everything that I was ever involved in, which is a first. In other words, you could go into every single thing that I ever did. Was he a bad boy here? Was he a bad boy there? And my lawyer said, what do you need to go through? And all you wanted to do is testify simply on this case. Because I would have loved to have testified. To this day, I would have liked to have testified. But you would have been, you would have said something out of whack, like it was a beautiful sunny day and it was actually raining out. And I very much appreciate the big crowd of people outside. That's incredible what's happening. The level of support has been incredible. So the whole thing is legal expense was marked down as legal expense. Think of it. This is the crime that I committed that I'm supposed to go to jail for 187 years for. When you have violent crime all over this city at levels that nobody's ever seen before, where you have businesses leaving, and businesses are leaving because of this, because heads of businesses say, man, we don't want to get involved with that. I could go through the books of any business person in the city, and I could find things that in theory, I guess, let's indict him, let's destroy his life. But I'm out there, and I don't mind being out there because I'm doing something for this country, and I'm doing something for our Constitution. It's very important, far beyond me. And this can't be allowed to happen to other presidents. It should never be allowed to happen in the future. But this is far beyond me. This is bigger than Trump. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than my presidency. And the people understand it because I just see a poll just came out, the Daily Mail. That was the first one, came out, was done last night right after the verdict, where I'm up 6 points. 6 points from what we already were. We were leading fairly substantially. We're up 6 points in the Daily Mail poll. Now, maybe other polls come out and it says something differently. But a lot of people have predicted it because the public understands and they understand what's going on. This is a scam. There's a rigged trial. It shouldn't have been in that venue. We shouldn't have had that judge. He should have allowed us to have an election expert. We had the best expert, most respected expert, head of the Federal Elections Commission. He was all set to testify. He was waiting for 2 days. And when it was his turn, Bragg's people protested. And the judge knocked him out, said you can't testify. He actually said you can't testify for anything having to do with the trial. You can say what the federal elections is. Well, that doesn't help. Everybody knows that. But you can't testify. So essentially, he wasn't able to testify. Other people weren't able to testify. But with these people, they were able to use people salacious. By the way, and nothing ever happened. There was no anything. Nothing ever happened, and they know it. But they were salacious as they could be. And it had nothing to do with the case. But it had to do with politics. And do you notice the timing? The timing was perfect. This case was dead. It was dropped by every agency, every governmental board. It was dropped by the highly respected Southern District. They said, no, there's no case here. It was dropped by federal election. And that's what it's about. This is about a federal election, not a state election. You're not even allowed to look at it. They took the state and the city and they went into a federal election. They're not allowed. The people from federal election, Southern District, and Washington dropped the case. Everybody dropped the case. There was no case. Cy Vance dropped the case. And when Bragg came in, he said, this is the most ridiculous case I've ever seen. And who would have a certain person, again, gag order, who would have a certain person like this ever testify? He said, this is essentially one of the worst people I've ever seen, ever, to testify. He said, the craziest case I've ever seen. This is Bragg. Then when I announced I was running for president, long time later, they decided to revive this case. And they got a judge, Judge Marchand, who was responsible for another case that was also brought. It destroyed the life of a very good man, by the way. Destroyed the life of a very good man who went to prison once. And then they just put him in prison again because they said he lied. He didn't lie. I looked at the statements he made. In fact, he didn't remember something and they put him in jail. Again, they've destroyed him. With me for many years, he was an honorable person. He was an honest man. And if you look at what he did, supposedly, it never happened. There's never been anything like this over the education of his grandchildren. over. He didn't report that he had a car or two cars on his income. I don't know. I wonder how many people here have cars. I wonder how many people said, oh, gee, I have a car that's worth X dollars. How do you even figure it? And I guess you do have to report it, but I would say probably almost nobody does. Nobody even thinks about it. They put this man, they destroyed this man, but they put him in jail again because they didn't want him to testify. They didn't want him to testify. That's why he went to jail. They put him in jail twice. He's 77 years old. Now, normally I'd say that's an old guy, but I don't feel 77. Nobody ever says that about me. I'd like them to say, gee, we have to have a little sorrow for this man, because they just don't say that about me. But maybe I'm better off that way. I think I'm probably better off that way. But they put him in jail twice. And you have to see what they put him in jail. And he was threatened by the judge. This man was told, you're going to get 15 years in jail if you don't give up Trump. And he was told that. You're going to get 15 years in jail. And he made a plea deal because he didn't want to spend the rest of his life. And he was told that viciously.
So a little bit of what transpired about 2 hours ago with former President Trump, candidate Trump, as he's talking about what happened yesterday. We'll come back and grab a couple of texts here coming up around 12:35. Senator Katie Britt joins me. We'll talk about, the big story right here with her and a couple other items. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, Erica Thomas and John Sharp. It's all straight ahead. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. It's Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 is the text line here. And I grab a few of these before we go to the news and come back with Senator Katie Britt. Let's see here. Rick said this. This is emblematic of kind of what we saw this morning as well. Rick said, I've never donated to a political candidate. That changed yesterday. That was from Rick. Does it make a great story that the donation site crashed? Yeah. But if you were trying to make the most amount of money, you wouldn't have let it crash. I do believe they had the traffic on there yesterday with those donations. And there's a lot of people, Rick, you're talking about donating. There's also people who said, and that was interesting. I said that this morning, looking through X last night on Twitter, and the number of people, like libertarian people I follow, that are no fans of Trump. But they said, okay, in this case, this is enough. And not that people that are on Twitter represent the entirety of the population. I don't believe that. But I think there is a change there. I think there's maybe people that might not even speak up publicly, but they will speak up at the ballot box on November 5th. As Texture said, they're weaponizing the justice system against Trump. Jerry in Fort Morgan said, this is definitely a sad day for the people who have been brainwashed into believing the rule of law lie. Alabama House District 2 is going to be a disaster if they get away with stealing it. If Alabama AG has a set, he will have the Democrat nominee for AL2 in a courtroom before the 4th of July. Jerry, I think, and I'll talk about this with Senator Britt in a second, because I know she and Caroline Dobson, the Republican candidate for AL2, I think talk some. I think if you're in the Caroline Dobson camp, you've got to be buoyed by what happened. Not that you're happy that it happened, but the politics of it, I think there's going to be turnout that would have been high anyways for Trump by the Republicans that are in AL2. I think it will be higher than that. I think it will be and so if they're showing up for that, then of course you can look at down ballot. It may be good news in AL2. Haywood said Trump pressers are a stream of consciousness. They are. They are something for sure. You got to just follow it. Let's see here. Gary said, thank you for playing the Trump speech. Trump 2024, no more BS. Well, yeah, I played, as much of it we could because, Trump gets on and he could go on for an hour and a half. But I wanted to hear what he had to say after yesterday. He spoke briefly, of course, right outside the courtroom yesterday. But I think he had a lot more to say there. Michael says, until the right punches the bully back in the throat, the left will continue to use the Constitution against them. The social compact is broken and the Constitution is no longer valid. It's simply a suicide pact for those trying to cling to it and give them benefit of the doubt that the leftists want the same thing as conservatives. Interesting discussion point. We may get back to that later on, Michael. All right, coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. And as I mentioned before we went to the news, joining us now, Senator Katie Britt. Good to get you back on the show, Senator.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. I appreciate it.
And appreciate you coming on and want to get commentary here from you from what happened yesterday. Now, we've been going through the calls and texts from people and the emails of listeners here, how they feel about it. First of all, and you can talk about it as a senator, but before that, just Katie Britt, talk about it. Your reaction to, I mean, all 34 counts he was found guilty on. Heck, I think, you know, there's mob trials where at least they don't get a couple of them. You know, they're like, yeah, well, these charges they didn't get, but the other 30 hit. Every one of them.
Every one of them. And Sean, I mean, honestly, as an American, I'm just sad. We look at other countries, as, you know, third world countries who go after political opponents, who prosecute those who don't, you know, think like them. And you think, well, that's, you know, that's a banana republic. We're a constitutional republic. I mean, we've shown over the span of this that our nation is becoming no better. And I believe that we are better. I believe that we will be better. But this type of stuff, having two tiers of justice, just has to stop. And if, as an American, you think if they will come after a former president of the United States of America, and they'll come after him with a charge that, Sean, you know, obviously both the FEC and DOJ declined to prosecute, a charge that, you know, had run the statute of limitations. If they'll come after a charge of which they're saying, oh, there's an underlying crime, but we haven't proved an underlying crime, but you get to pick what that is. When you look at that, those stretches, you look at the judge who obviously had not only given to Biden, but whose family has financial interest in the opposite politics than President Trump. When you look at that and you think they'll come after him, you know that they'll come after us. And so we've seen with this administration, and honestly, I mean, Sean, just take a step back. Like, go back to when the Dobbs opinion was leaked. Okay, when the Dobbs opinion was leaked, we saw people begin to protest and picket outside of our Supreme Court justices' homes. And I exposed in a hearing with the Attorney General, with Merrick Garland, that they had actually discouraged. He had said, we're not making any prosecutions in those because there were no arrests. Well, we exposed that this administration actually gave, you know, put up slides with all the U.S. Marshals, went, you know, had them sit down and actually actively discouraged them from making arrests, from actually enforcing 1507. You look at what we've done to, you know, parents who've spoken up at school boards and seeing that they've been targeted by DOJ. You look at what happened in the impending or the impeachment trial that never actually got to happen because Chuck Schumer shut it down. He decided he was going to play top politics instead of letting you know, the facts be assessed and letting America see what's going on at the border and letting us make that determination of whether or not the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, should be impeached. I mean, we saw them play games with it. And then you look at this, and I just, as an American, this is a sad day, and I think you just think if they'll come after someone like this, they'll come after any of us. And I think we have to work diligently to change that dynamic, work diligently to restore people's confidence in our judicial system. I mean, it is one of, obviously, the foundational building blocks of our nation. And to me, we have exposed a fundamental crack in what is occurring, and it is one that we cannot let sit there. We've got to fill that crack. We have got to create another, we've got to create a firm foundation, because people having faith in our justice system is a critical component to the success of this nation.
I want to come right back to that, but for an aside, though, you mentioned something that it's not every day I have a senator on with me. Did we find the leaker in the Dobbs leak? Remember, they were going to find the leaker and prosecute him? Remember that, where they were going to get right on that?
Exactly, Sean, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, people can see this. People can see that you're treated differently depending on whether you have a D or an R beside your name or whether your agenda links up with the liberal agenda or not. And if that had been anyone else, I mean, you know, that is a small universe of people who had access to that to that opinion before it was leaked. It is a small universe. So I feel like if we can track down terrorists in underground tunnels in the Middle East, I feel real confident that in 2024 we can figure out who in the United States Supreme Court building leaked that opinion. But the truth is, that's just it. They don't want to do that. Let's take another example. Look at what's happening on college campuses. In this nation, we have anti-Semitism running rampant. We have our Jewish brothers and sisters who are afraid to go to class or sleep in their dorms or walk outside. That is disgusting and despicable. And look, I had the Secretary of Education in front of us, and I said, why are you not enforcing Title VI? I mean, we know how this works. We know what you should be doing, and you're refusing to actually do it. He said, we're investigating. This has been going on and since right after October 7th. So, I mean, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, you could just turn on your TV and know that these students are fearing for their safety and their life, but yet this administration won't do and say what it needs to. And like I said, look, we know in the state of Alabama that discriminating based on race, you know, blocking people from classrooms, that wasn't okay in the 1960s, Sean, and it is not okay now. And the fact that this administration cannot unequivocally say that just shows you that they are viewing every single thing through the lens of politics, through the lens of power, and not as what is best for the American people. And I think that means we have to speak up, we have to vote, we have to work harder, and we have to build stronger coalitions, because honestly, November is huge for the future of this nation. If we want stable prices, safe streets, stronger family units, and we want our allies to respect us and our enemies to fear us, there is one choice in November. It is President Trump. It is a Republican Senate, and we need a Republican House. So there is a lot at stake. I mean, and I think the stakes have really never been higher. We saw that yesterday. And then if you look even a day before that, Sean, look at what the Ayatollah did. I mean, you and I could talk. I mean, do you see how much material we have here? The Ayatollah yes. coming out and saying, I stand with, you know, the brave students and their professors. I mean, and the Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran, the supreme leader of Iran, the largest state sponsor of terrorists, Iran, who funds Hamas in Gaza, who funds the Houthis, he funds Hezbollah. That guy who said it is not just a death to America is not just a slogan. It is a policy. And he is cheering the left. If Democrats are not taking a step back and going, what have we done? This is too much. I don't know when the lights will go on for them.
Senator, you're talking about this got me onto this. Just talking about the selection of what is happening from this administration based on the politics, right? And you can say what President Biden is doing or not doing with Israel is probably based a lot on what happens. They think will happen in November. On the other side of that, as we look at the half a world away stuff, the story came out, I think, as Politico had Biden secretly gave Ukraine permission to strike inside Russia with U.S. weapons. With that. And I'll say it, proxy war that we're engaged in there. Where do you see that going? I mean, do you see decisions being based on November by what this administration is doing with in account to Ukraine? Or do you think there's something else to that?
You know, look, the way that this administration has handled Putin's aggression from the very beginning is something that has not only frustrated me as an American, but has given me great pause, because there were times where, you know, there had already been the proper votes, all the things to send weaponry to Ukraine, and yet this administration continued to drag its feet. And so all of the things don't add up. You look at, like, also when you think about energy and what we're doing in this nation, you know, this administration, for whatever reason, has a war on energy here in our homeland. And it is my opinion that we should not only just be energy independent, we should actually be energy dominant. But when you do that, when you go to war with energy here in America, and by the way, I believe we can produce energy cleaner, better, and more efficiently than anywhere else on the planet, you actually give Russia the upper hand. And so because you allow them to hold our allies in the palm of their hand when it comes to natural gas. And you look at what it means for Iran. You look at the sanctions that they're refusing to enforce on Iran and yet allowing them to expire at the same time that they are placing sanctions on Israeli citizens. I mean, it's just, none of it adds up. I mean, this, except for the fact, I think what we keep coming back to is that this administration has a doctrine of appeasement that doesn't work, and they exhibit weakness at every single turn. And I'll tell you, Sean, I've had an opportunity to travel and meet with leaders of other countries on behalf of the United States, talk to them about things that we need to be partnering on, talking about different things. And the one thing that I walk away from every single conversation with is that people no longer respect us. They no longer fear us. And that is completely and totally a result. And they don't trust us either. And that is a complete and total result of Joe Biden being in the White House. So I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, obviously, he's holding up, you know, or held up weaponry to Israel. And then, you know, you're hearing all this other stuff he's doing. He's meeting with Xi Jinping, you know, essentially skipping through a garden in San Francisco. They, you know, clearly finally decided to clean it up for Xi Jinping's appearance. But Xi Jinping tells him it's not an if, but a when I take Taiwan. And then you look at this administration, you look at what he's doing. When he proposed his budget, which, by the way, President Biden proposed his budget, Sean, a month late, and he actually, the things that he's cutting, Department of Defense, the budget doesn't even keep up with inflation, and he actually had a cut to the Department of Homeland Security, a $1.25 billion cut to the Department of Homeland Security when we're really being invaded at the border. And Sean, here's the deal. I believe we're $34.5 trillion in debt, and we need to have some really tough conversations when it comes to what and how we spend and how we become more fiscally responsible. So if you want to say, okay, we're cutting across the board or we're doing this, there's a conversation that we can have. You know, we may end up in like a little bit of a different spot on this, but that's not it. He's not cutting across the board. He's spending more. And on EPA, when it comes to the EPA budget, he actually increased that, Sean, by 20%. At the same time that he is not taking our homeland security serious, he's not taking our defense capabilities and protecting our warfighters serious. And it's after, you know, we know what's coming in Taiwan, in the Middle East. We see Putin's aggression, and yet he continues to make poor choices, exhibit weakness. He has a doctrine of quote don't, and every adversary we have, when he says don't, Sean, they just do.
Yeah, and Senator, it's, you know, on all these things, it seems like whether it be with Israel and a response there or Ukraine, or the Overton window isn't inching along. It's on rails. It's flying so quickly. And I don't know. You do that. You don't come out and say what you're really going to do in the end. And then so your allies don't have faith in you just as much as, like you pointed out, the enemies don't have faith in you. And then you then move it. Now we're going to move the needle and we're going to go to this and go to this. It's just like you just give it. You know, I can tell you whatever they tell me, yeah, the administration, we will never do this, or we're never going to let these people do this. By next month, that becomes a new normal.
Yeah, and Sean, listen, you're exactly right when you say, I mean, and you think about what this administration has done, too. Every world leader that I have met with, almost without exception, brings up Afghanistan and my first year in the Senate that I met with, and mm-hmm. brought up that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And obviously, all of us wanted our men and women to come home, but you want them to come home the right way. And the way that we did that sent shockwaves across the world. It really put fear in our allies in a way that they, again, as you just mentioned, don't trust us. But it emboldened our enemies. I mean, our enemies are emboldened, and then we are not doing the right things to actually exhibit peace through strength. And let me give you an example of this. So we just said, obviously, we're talking about Middle East. We're talking about Russia. I mentioned Indo-PACOM, you know, what we see with China's aggression. So militarily, you look at where we are with China. So China has, you know, however many ships they have right now versus, I think, like 385. And then by the time we get to 2030, they're going to have upwards of 430-something ships. We have 291, Sean, and we're going to go down, and then we're going to come back up to 290. And when you look at the investment in our naval fleet, or lack thereof, we know it's not just a fleet. That's munitions. That's weaponry. It's all of the things. And so You look at China building there. You look at China increasingly stealing our intellectual property, increasingly undermining our American workers. And so the economic front there. And then look at what they're doing from a social media space. I mean, this warfare from them is coming from every angle. I mean, you look at TikTok, for example, and you look at kind of sort of the way, I said this in my State of the Union response, but the Chinese Communist Party knows if they control the minds of the next generation, they control America. And if you look at what is happening with TikTok, I mean, if you're on TikTok, the first 2.6 minutes a new user is on TikTok, they are likely delivered an algorithm about suicide. The first 8 minutes, they're likely delivered an algorithm about eating disorders. And we know our kids are not on there for minutes. They're on there, I think studies showed last year, social media apps, our high schoolers were on there 4.6 hours a day. And so you look at what's happening, and then it ties back to this movement here in this nation where you have the Ayatollah saying he's standing with college kids. And do we not, let's not forget that it was just a few months ago that on TikTok, the letter to Osama bin Laden's letter to America went viral here, where you had young people saying that they were disappointed and ashamed to be Americans. I believe we live in the greatest nation on the globe. We have to work every day to make it an even better place and to create even more opportunity for people to seize. But what we're seeing is a complete just denigration of this nation under Joe Biden's leadership. And Democrats seem happy to play politics instead of putting the nuts and bolts in place to build this nation back up. And I think that is clear. That's why we need Trump back in the White House. That's why we need Republicans to take back the Senate and protect the filibuster. And that's why we've got to hold the House.
Yeah, I think as parents, both of us parents, a way we armor our children to influence from TikTok or something like that is maybe we're not doing our jobs. I don't mean like just generally not doing our jobs in building them up with the positivity, right? That they would get the letter from bin Laden and read that, because the grass is always greener on the, you know, the, whatever it is. But maybe, you know, our best weapon against that is to make sure these children know what a great place this is and point out examples. You know, sometimes I think we catch ourselves complaining about everything. Maybe need to take a little time for hype reel, you know, to hype the kids up about how great of a place they live. So
absolutely,
when they hear something like that,
that's
they
right.
go, yeah, that's not true, because I can see the things that are great about our country.
That's right. And instilling civic responsibility in our children. You know, every single one of us, I believe God, you know, God calls each and every one of us to a different path. But every one of those paths is incredibly important in making this nation and making the lives around us better. And so, and, you know, encouraging them, to your point, create that foundation for them about this nation, teaching them to stand for the flag and to love this country and to work diligently to make it better. And that, you know, we're just missing the indoctrination that we're seeing from our kids, whether it's some of the things we've seen in the classroom or whether it's what we're seeing on TikTok. I think we as parents have to be even more vigilant and, to your point, even more intentional about laying that foundation, because I really believe the future of this great nation depends on it.
I want to, before we wrap up here, too, I want to ask you about the situation with Vulcan Materials. Now, this is, it's interesting. You think about a Birmingham-based company, but the second I talked about it the other day, the number of people here in our neck of the woods in southwest Alabama that have business with Vulcan, and they talk about, since these troubles have started down in Mexico, how much their prices have gone up on materials for Vulcan. This is a private company, Alabama company, but they privately own this land in Mexico. And now what's happening, Senator? The Mexican government says you're going to sell it to us at this price, or what's happening?
So this is yet another example of where this administration will not stand up to AMLO, to the president there in Mexico. So this, about 2 years ago, Mexico illegally invaded and shut down Vulcan's deep water port. That was the first time. And so think about, that's a private business that the government and private property, and the government invades. Then they come back. They actually did it a second time in March of 2023. So this is something I've been working diligently on for the last 18 months. You know, he came forth, AMLO, and he obviously said, okay, we'll buy it. It was an incredibly low bid and just ridiculous on its face. And what we know them to do is probably, I mean, you know, who knows what he'll do, probably seize this private property after his election, which is just completely and totally unacceptable. You know, how in the world, if you're a true leader in the White House, President Biden should be telling AMLO, I will not encourage, I will deter American businesses from investing there. I will tell them openly that their investment will not be protected, that you will see these things. We will tell this story. This is not what we expect from our partners and trade partners, and obviously with the different agreements we have. But this administration is refusing to do that. I mean, it's honestly shameful that this President AMLO would rather confiscate American assets than the fentanyl that's killing hundreds of Americans a day. And so him offering about 20% of what the property is worth to me is just it's just a complete and total joke. And unfortunately, there are real ramifications of kind of what has happened and what is happening. I mean, it includes support of Mobile. I mean, that aggregate, you know, from Vulcan uses it obviously for its important work. You'll see the impact on energy infrastructure projects across the Gulf. I mean, it is, whether it's limestone or aggregate materials, I mean, it is really affecting not just our state. And we know the Port of Mobile affects, you know, all 67 counties in Alabama. It affects the whole region, but it's also affecting so much more. And there's a lot of really important, you know, growth projects, infrastructure projects throughout the region that the cost is going up, or they're not being able to work on them in a diligent manner in the way they would like, because this is all being held up there in Mexico. And so we've got to keep fighting. We did a bipartisan letter, Senator Tuberville, myself, Senator Hagerty from Tennessee, and Senator Kane from Virginia, you know, telling AMLO, like, enough is enough, you know, and cut it out. And so I think we just continue to stand up for not only Alabama's security, but America's security and economic interest. And this is really a big deal. It should be getting more attention. No government should be invading a private property of an American company with weaponry and bringing it to a halt, all for their own personal and political gain. That's not something that we should allow to happen, and we should be speaking loudly and forcefully.
Senator Britt, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us today, and hopefully we'll get you back on soon.
Hey, I appreciate it, Sean. Thank you so much.
All right, Senator Katie Britt joining us. We're coming right back.